Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together?
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no Americans care about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is November 14th, Saturday, a week after Mr. Biden won the election, but nothing really happened. So that's that. We hope you had a good week. That shit was wild. You know, last week was the election. Also my birthday.
Happy birthday, bro.
Thank you. It's a week late, but it's fine. I got to tell you, it was very hard to go because everybody's partying on the streets and everybody's yelling, "Biden." When I say Biden, you yell Harris or whatever the fuck. And it was so hard to be
really?
Like, but it was also hard to be like, but also me, you know, I'm 31 now.
What about me?
What about Fumi 2020? You know,
yeah.
So that was happening for me. I don't know. What's
what'd you do for your birthday? Did you guys?
This is funny. We got like a hotel. Yeah. I got a hotel in Manhattan.
Yep.
At the Standard Hotel in the, I don't know what that.
For these squares, hit them. What's the Standard Hotel about?
Weird, right? Well, it's like in the Meatpacking District, which is where like the clubs are. But the way that the hotels are designed, and I didn't know that every room was like this until you confirmed it. But
yeah,
it's for like sexy people. So like the way that the bathtub is designed is like there's the walls are made of like plexiglass or something
that
so you can see through. So if you shower, somebody on the bed can see you.
Right.
Which is like sexy. It was sexy for me because it was my birthday and it was like a sexy time. But I couldn't go there with my mom or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, imagining, you know, this hotel room. Like what if you stayed there with like your family and you just didn't know it was a sexy hotel?
Yeah.
You know, because like you can't really tell.
You can't tell.
Right? And you go in there.
They don't tell you it's a sexy hotel.
Right? And your nana is there giving you sexy shower time. It's like, nana.
Even like, you know, we had some sexy times, but also like you also have to shower as like a regular person. And like,
oh, yeah.
She was watching TV and I was like, I felt insecure like washing my asshole.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do this in front of you. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, we've been together for a long time, but like, I'm not ready to be like an exhibition. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. That could be really sexy, but if you just had sex, it's just, you're just wiping your butt.
You're just wiping your butt.
And there's no way to do it. And I'm imagining, because you're Japanese, you got that one like a scrubber that looks like an oven mitt. You got one of those?
You put it on your hand?
You ever seen one of those?
For your asshole?
Just in general. Asian people love like having things where it's like a mitt and you can like scrub the top layer of your skin off.
I have a loofah that's like rough, but it's not like that. It's like a towel.
Okay.
Shirt. Yeah, that's what Japanese people use. But that's interesting that you just revealed that about yourself.
Sexy time. That's our sex toy.
What? The butt thing?
Is the oven
mitt? I'm also like, I don't know if other Asian people have this, but I have no hair on my body but my asshole.
Really?
I don't know what happened. My asshole looks like a 17-year-old football player's chest. It's wild. Like, it's so much hair. It's very
all
scary.
All your testosterone went there.
It all went
all
there.
Of it.
All of it went there.
You look like a dolphin, but like with a hairy butt. Like
yeah, dude. It's really disappointing, you know? So that's why I don't let girls eat my butt. Because I don't want them. Because girls come to me and they're like, "Oh, you're so hairless. I love that." And I'm like, let's keep it that way. Stay out of my asshole. So anyways, that was my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, bro.
Oh, thank you, man. I got one quick story, and then we'll bring on our guests.
Yes.
I was doing this show the other day, and you know how we always talk about how, like, sometimes, like, a white comedian will get sucked in by black comedians' energy and start talking in that, like, way that typical black comedians talk in, like a Def Jam way.
Yes.
So I did a show where we all had to do 20 minutes. Now, it's quarantine time, and we haven't done 20 minutes in a while.
20 minutes is kind of a long time.
It's a long time, and, like, And like you get tired by the end because you're not used to doing such a long set, and you're like, oh, you're using a lot of brain power, you're using a lot of CPU.
This is that one show on the in Harlem.
No. This is like at a coffee shop in Park Slope. Okay. So like I did my set, it was fine, somebody else went up, and then this other guy goes up, a white comedian, and he like talks in that way. He's like a white dude from the suburbs, but he talks like, you know what I'm saying? Shit. Yeah, damn. Yeah. Like he talks like that. And it's funny because I saw him get tired, and by the end he didn't have that accent.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like by the end it's like he had a British accent, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Hello, governor.
Yeah, yeah. Know? He just gets tired and just starts like just talking like a Midwest guy.
Yeah, it's like, so what's the deal with stop signs?
Yeah,
like,
what's good with that, you know?
But the arc was so funny because in the beginning he was like, shit. And then by the end he's like, you know, my Toyota Prius, you know.
Anyways, go Biden. Go Biden.
Yeah, so I witnessed that and I was like, comedy's back, baby.
How did you do? Did you get sucked in by the energy?
No. I'm very comfortable with who I am. But no, that doesn't mean I did well.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't mean, hey, I bombed being myself.
Yes.
I didn't bomb as a Def Jam wannabe comedian.
That's the goal of comedy, is to bomb. It's very zen. Bomb as yourself.
As yourself. Bomb as yourself. Not bomb as another person.
Bomb as yourself. That's something I believe the Buddha said once. Bomb
absolutely.
As yourself.
Absolutely. So
wonderful.
That was fun. And we'd love to talk more about it with our guest today.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been trying to get this person. Actually, I think she was supposed to do the pod like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Here
Not
we go.
A long time ago, but like.
Throwing shade on her.
No. This is our fault. It's Corona happened.
Oh, yeah,
I think
okay,
she
you're
was,
right.
She was like going to visit. And then we're like, oh, let's get you on the pod and let's do the show. And then Corona happened. And we're like, never mind, because we don't want you to die. So it didn't happen, but we reconnected. And so glad that she made time for us, because to be honest, our guest today is very special. She's like a famous comedian.
Yes.
And we are not. So we had to schedule this in at 9:30 her time, because she's a very busy person.
Right.
And she could not fit us in.
She's
going
to be doing famous
guys,
stuff.
Today's guest, she is a current, I don't think she's a current writer. This is wrong on her producer's part. She was a writer for Last Man Standing on Fox. Maybe she currently is. I think it's past. Oh, currently.
She is now. She is
I'm
now.
Wrong. I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm so sorry, Fawn. I'm wrong.
She's still famous.
She's still famous. She was on the Variety's top 10 comics to watch, bro.
I saw that. That was
That's
fire.
Crazy. That is fire. I'm going to ask her about it.
Yes.
You didn't know that? You knew that.
No. Yeah, okay. She knew that.
She's like...
She's waving.
She's waving. She's an OG Asian American comic.
Yeah.
OG. And I'm not saying old as an age, but I mean experienced, like a sage. So we have a lot of questions about her. And then she's also the host of Comedy Crossing, which is a stand-up comedy show inside the game Animal Crossing. So guys, get excited for the hilarious Jenny. Yay!
Hey, what is up, y'all? I cannot... Thank you for having me, but I cannot... wipe the image of Fumi's hairy butthole out of my brain right now. Thank you for. I love following a hairy butthole story. You know what I'm saying?
That's really our energy on this podcast. It's our one differentiator. Honestly, it's not that there's two Asian guys. It's that one of us has a hairy.
You're telling me you guys don't have hairy buttholes?
I haven't checked. I don't know.
But when you wipe, sometimes like you rip the paper and you touch it a little bit and you're like, whoa, it's a fucking jungle down there. You know.
You know, recently we got a negative review. Not a negative review.
Oh, yeah.
But a two-star review.
I can't pull this up because I don't have my phone on me.
Oh, yeah. But basically the person said, inappropriate.
Because they said, I like this.
I like this,
but it's inappropriate.
Was this your mom? Did your mom? Was that your mom? Hold on.
Definitely was Mrs. Nguyen.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. And then because you know why? It wasn't just I like this person because this person didn't just hate. She gave us an opportunity to... make up for it. She said, if you clean up your act, I'll give you 5 stars.
Well,
wow.
Get ready for this 1 star, because we just spent how long have we been recording for? Just 8 minutes talking about hairy buttholes. So,
no, but don't you think like maybe they're treating the reviews like Yelp, like Asians on Yelp? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they're like,
oh yeah.
The service was bad, but if I come back and they do something different, then maybe I'll change my review.
Hey.
We got Asian Yelped. We got Asian.
You're right. Asian people always, you know, like, I'll give you one chance to redeem yourself.
Right? We just got like a little bit of power in social media when Yelp came out.
Guys, I gotta say, if you listen to this and you like this podcast, please leave a 5-star review and then tell us honestly how you feel. If you don't like us, it's fine. Just leave a 5 stars, because I cannot deal with this 2-star bullshit.
Okay? I like that. I like the 5-star and then also honesty. Jenny, it was your birthday also, wasn't it?
It Recently. Was. That's what yes. I was going to say. What day was your birthday, Fumi?
The 7th.
What?
You were 7th?
Yo, we birthday twins.
But you know, you know what's crazy though? You were also not born here, right? You were born in Taiwan, right?
I was born in Taiwan. So
I was born in Japan. So that's what I'm saying. It's really the same day. It's really the same day.
I mean, like many years apart, but it's fine. We don't have to get into my age. I'm gonna sip on my iced coffee.
You're gonna sip on that ice. That. That's a very meme move right there just now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to do that. And just sip
when somebody finds out how old you are. Like, memed. You got memed.
What did you do for your birthday?
Oh, man. Cool? My boyfriend hired a fucking private chef.
What?
That's a good move.
Wow.
I'm telling That's you, a it's move. A strong move. I don't know how he's going to, you know, top that next year. What, I don't know how I'm about to top that when it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Did you get overshadowed by the 2020 election like I did? What's going
on? Yes, 100%. I felt that in my bones when you said that. Like, you're like, yay, but also me. Like, who says that? Who does that?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Democracy's cool and all, but your girl just turned 37. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just kept getting so many texts. People are like, you couldn't have asked for a better gift.
Or me too. That's what I got.
I was like, bitch, I want AirPods. Okay.
Yeah. AirPods. I remember one time when it was my birthday a while ago, and then my sister was like, hey, we got you a great birthday. I was like, what is it? She's like, you're gonna become an uncle. And I was like, oh, this is your gift. Like, you know,
100%.
You'll repackage it for you like that?
Come on, don't try to repackage a niece
so
for me.
Funny.
You know?
I do have to say, though, the election results being more formalized on my birthday is the first time I ever felt like maybe I could relate to people whose birthdays are on Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
You're so wise, dude. You're trying to think about it. You're always putting yourself in other people's shoes. I'm not doing that. I'm being a little brat.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, I swear to God, for a second I turned Republican. I was like, they don't even know about Wisconsin yet. They don't even know.
How can we be sure?
But okay? I know that I'm 31, but you don't even know about Nevada. So.
Yeah. What about all those missing ballots?
Yeah, I'm like, I have a MAGA hat on for some reason.
Yeah, just for a second.
This is the wrong day for this. It's the wrong day.
I know. It really is.
Where, you know, how did you had a nice private dinner, but, you know, I know you're very political and you were keeping track. After the election, were you, like, for me, I was sort of like, I was ready for the, you know, another Trump, you know, whatever, 4 more years.
I was preparing for a race war.
Yeah, okay, for sure, exactly. Did, you know, as the week went on, were you someone who was like keeping track every second, watching Wolf Blitzer on CNN, or you like not checking in at all? Like, for me, I allowed myself to check in the morning when I woke up, and then like one more time, like a little bit before dinner, and then before, and then otherwise I just assumed that gunfire would signal the
next. Oh, there it is. That's the cannon.
Oh,
there it is.
They're rounding us up. Okay, I guess what happened. Let's package this up.
I hear people call me Chink outside. Yep. That's the sign.
Ching Chong Kong is out there. So, we got to go. So, I mean, how are you handling that?
Yeah, so basically what I did was I can't look at cable news. I just had to check in on Twitter. But honestly, the reason why I found out that Biden, it was called for Biden, was I've been waking up early because of anxiety that week. Mm-hmm. And I just like, how do I soothe myself? Oh, I'm going to play Animal Crossing on Nintendo Switch starting at 7 a.m. So on there for like an hour and a half. And then my friend Kim Newmoney, who's Viet as well, who is a photographer here in L.A., a good friend of mine, she texts me and says, you know, best birthday gift ever. And I go to the Twitter, and of course there I saw it, Biden called, you know, for president. So listen, that's how I do it. Twitter is my breaking news source. I don't want to stress by god damn it.
Jenny's dying. Her internet's dead. She has corona. Her stomach is ruined.
I just woke up. So yeah. Anyway,
no, I can't
look at cable news.
Yeah, I totally hear you there. I was just chilling, and it was around 11 o'clock. So around that time, by you know your second hour of Animal Crossing, I was just hanging out. Were we going to record? Yes, we were about to record. So we were like, I was like walking down. And like shit was going crazy, but in the good way, where it was
instead of
squads, it was like.
Well, I saw in LA that people were like dancing on top of cars and stuff. Were you part of that?
You do any dancing on top of cars?
No, I've been quarantining away from LA. So if I was in LA, yes, I would have been all up in the mix.
I want to start here because some of our listeners may not know who you are, but you've got this like your whole thing is you got this whole like political activist background, and we talked about it before when we interviewed you with Banana. Yeah. But like I want to like talk a little bit about that and then kind of relate it back to the Biden thing, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, basically some people don't know this, but that my first career and passion in life was working in politics and policy. I was like I grew up in Southern California and went to college in a snooty, white, very white, small liberal arts college called Swarthmore College on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was like, damn, first time I was around like white people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
grew for
up,
sure.
I grew up in Torrance, you know, where the majority
shouts
was
to Torrance.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, it was like, it's like essentially like Asian American Sweet Valley High. It was like brown, yeah. Pacific Islander, Asian American. Yep. I had people I could look up to who were Asian, you know what I mean, mm-hmm, in my school. Mm-hmm. I never, you know, bless the hearts of the others who are Asian, who grew up around white people and who are like, I grew up wanting to be white. I was like, no, we made fun of white people from this jump. Yeah. Like, that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
I mean?
That's really nice.
Right? Where like, I didn't want to be blonde. You know what I'm saying? So, and so when I went to Swarthmore, I was like, what is this? What's LL Bean? What's J. Crew? You know what I mean? and I was like, okay. So that was like a shock to the system, you know? And I was like, okay. And luckily at my school, I had certain classes and classmates that could give me the analysis and the language to describe what I was feeling, which is I'm not alone. For me to feel crazy isn't just me, it is the world is messed up and unfair, you know, and this is why, you know what I'm saying? Like my mom was a garment worker. She is in a relationship with her father, with my father, that is probably, they probably should have been divorced, but they're Asian and old school. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so
I call it Asian divorce. Yeah.
Asian
which
divorce.
Is just being married. Yes.
Being married, two separate beds. It's fine.
Yes. Ideally.
We had that. We had that.
Two separate.
Oh, shit.
Two separate floors. Two separate floors.
Oh, shit. That's
if why, you have it like that. If you have it like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Asian people want to have two-story houses. So they can, so they can sleep floors. In. You know, like, you can't expect me to sleep on the same floor as your mother.
We had that
Asian divorce.
My mom had the, obviously she had like the king size bed, and then my dad slept in like the guest room with like in a twin size bed.
My dad too, dude.
He was in his like 40s making money for the family, twin size bed.
Yeah, honestly, sounds kind of nice. But anyways, continue with your so.
But I think we've established something here.
We're all children of trauma.
Because you grow up, you grow up a certain way and you don't know, like you don't compare notes really when you're a kid, right? You just assume things are the way they are. Mm-hmm, but then once you get to college, you're like trying to be in classes and, you know, having Socratic discussions with like white people. And you're like, wait, this is how you live? And so anyway, that's when, you know, I kind of got really aware and it was a foregone conclusion. Like, okay, I'm going to work in politics. I'm going to like help organize Asian American communities or whatever. I worked for a labor movement. I went to grad school in urban planning. Y'all, I did all of it. I got a full ride scholarship to grad school. Listen.
Oh, hey.
Listen, like, you know, not even like low key flex, you know, it was more like high key flex because, because I like to share that because whenever I talk to college students, I'm always like, listen, I've done the thing you think what will make you happy. Right. Like I've gotten to Harvard and MIT. I've gotten scholarships. I got straight A's. I got into really good schools, you know, but
yeah,
I was still sad as fuck. If you don't deal with your shit. You know?
Yeah. You know? I cannot relate. But yeah. So what? So then, were you always interested in doing comedy or was this something like over time you were just sort of like, you know, because that sounds really dope. And I sometimes watch, what's that? Billions, you know that show?
Oh, that show,
And I'm like,
I love
maybe,
Billions.
You know that, you know, it'd be tight to be like a lawyer for the Fed. You know, I'm like, man, you know, and I always read about all these like people who are doing all these important things, and I'm like, maybe I should have tried harder in school and been one of those. You know, but I know deep down I am stupid, so I couldn't have done that. But you did do that, and then you decided to throw it all away. Mm-hmm. Why?
What happened?
What happened?
Listen, you know, in my own way, working in politics is not like being an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor, yeah. but it was still a stable enough, upstanding kind of job yeah. that like gave me a salary, gave me an apartment, made sure, like made my parents feel comfortable, like they don't have to worry, yep, you know what I'm yep. saying? And I was like in my 20s and I became a director of this really powerful union, labor union, you know, one of the directors. Yeah, that represented public employees, right. about 85,000 in Southern California. And, you know, I was just burnt out. You know, I was like,
word.
I'm making six figures. I'm not happy. This is bullshit, you know? So what I did was I went back to like thinking about like, well, what makes me happy? And I've always written. That was my outlet, you know? I used to write poetry for funsies. Just like since I was Whoa. In the fifth grade, you know what I mean? Since yep. like fourth grade, fifth grade. And yep. then You're one of those. It continued. Yeah. And then in college, because of the student of color activism and queer activism on campus, you know, performing poetry, right, or music was a big part of how we came together. And so I realized, oh, I could perform, you know? And so yep. little do people know, in most of my early 20s, people knew me in LA as a poet.
Oh, so you were bullied. Got it. Oh my God.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Poets all have been bullied.
That's cool. True. That's cool. So there's kind of like a, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I performed, I used to perform regularly, like work crowds. Like I would make people laugh or make them cry. It was nothing in between.
Yes.
Cause that's what you do in poetry. And I remember, you know, because we were in LA, even though this was like a very indie space called Tuesday Night Cafe, that was my home space for poetry.
Yeah.
There's the industry, the Hollywood industry was always around. And so random people would be like, oh my God, you're awesome. Have you thought of blah, blah, blah? And be like, nah, bitch, I'm going to grad school, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So it wasn't until I got really burnt out after having come up in this labor union that I worked at that I was like, man, if I don't have a creative outlet that's for real, I will go to work and punch a fool. I will punch them in the face.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, or I was like, I will snap, crackle, and pop. Like, this is what's about to happen.
Okay. I've always wanted to ask you this because, like, as I mentioned in your credits, you're like an OG comic. You know, like you've been doing comedy like before, like, because now it's all like Asian comedians are cool and like two of us can be on the same show and no one's gonna die. But like, I'm sure when you started. Because I think you started like a little bit before I started. Even when I started.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I started in 2014. So you probably started around 2010, 11-ish, right? Like,
yes.
Even in 2014, it's like, they were still like, I don't know if you can trust Asian people with comedy. Like, it was that. And I can't even 100%. Imagine. It was, I can't even imagine what that was like four years before that.
Yeah, you started, I remember, you know, because I was a fan of you when you had the comedy festival. Was that what it was called?
Comedy Festival, a comedy festival?
Yes, exactly. And the whole point of that was like, you know, Asian people can just do comedy. It doesn't have to be called Asian comedy. And that was sort of like the narrative, I think, for a while about like, hey, we're just like you. And, you know, that's still something we're trying to push. But like, I feel like it's sort of changed. But, you know, compare, like, how would you describe when you first started versus how things are now? Because obviously there's still a lot of like shit we got to do, but... You do feel like there's some inroads, but like, what was it like when you first started up?
Yeah, it made doing comedy for 10 years makes me sound like such an old, but yeah, so much has changed in the last 10 years. Like when I first started, it was like, I think it was like just, I don't know how it had been for a while before the internet got really popping. You know what I mean? Like it was just like ching chong comedy, geishas of comedy. You know what I mean? It was always like fried rice comedy.
Yes.
ching chong comedy.
Yeah, we're still. I think we're. I want to make fun of you, but I am gonna do a show called Youth in Asia later. So. Two steps forward, two steps back. But anyways, yes, I totally hear you.
If you haven't done a show called Euthanasia or like Invasion or whatever,
Invasion.
You're not a comic. You're not a comic if you haven't done a show like that.
Yeah, that's a fire show though. Invasion is a fire show.
Yo, you just have to reference every like Asian American magazine or blog in college that used a pun on the word Asian.
Celebration.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
That show is lit though. That's a good show.
It was either that or like a, and you know, I feel again, you know, around that time, you know, you could either do that or a pun related to chopsticks in some way.
Oh yeah. My God.
Something two sticks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, oh yeah. This is gonna, this is my jam. I gotta check this
or
out.
Or like they wouldn't even get creative. Sometimes I've done a show called like Lucky Cat. Like they just point, they're not even a pun, just like an item.
Just an item
like,
you see.
Yeah, you're like, dumplings. Is this a Chinese restaurant or is this a comedy show?
Yeah. Like, it's both.
It's delicious.
Lucky Dragon comedy, freaking like Jade. Jade comedy.
Emerald Jade. Ah. Yeah, yeah. No. It's got to have like a dim sum name. Like, you know, Grand Phoenix Feast, you know?
Dumpling.
Comedy. Yeah.
Dumpling comedy.
Golden Buddha comedy.
Golden,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Golden Harvest. Comedy and
well,
dumplings.
This is all like this is all true. And did that? And
we could go
dude. That could be the whole podcast.
We could bring this whole podcast.
I've got 20 more in my head, but
we could just keep going. Just keep going.
Yo, but like
the thing is that there's nothing wrong with those things.
Nothing wrong
like,
with
sometimes
it.
They're like some, you know, like sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, and like
it is a fun way
to kind of immediately brand something.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to talk too much shit about it because that was the environment back then. Like you had to kind of shuck a little, jive a little, you know what I mean? To be like, this is a thing.
Like that.
You know what I mean? And it's a quick way to connect with other people who are Asian, you know, to be like, this is for you. You know what I mean? It just was like, it cut through the clutter because I don't know if you remember this. There was even like back then, there was like a viral video of like a dude making a white comedian wearing glasses. Yeah. Remember? He did like a character that was like, oh, I am Ching Chong Chinese, you know?
Yeah.
And then he heckled the one Asian dude in the front and people argued whether or not this was like staged or real, but that dude got so pissed he like straight up like went up on stage and punched him. I remember the internet was a flame, all the Asian that's right that's for all the times on the playground, like everyone's children,
everyone's
inner child showed up and they were like that is my hero, you know. That back then was like a dramatization of how the environment was. Like if you were Asian and you wanted to go to a mainstream comedy club, you were an automatic target. Number one, you're probably the only one there.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're just showing up just to try to have a good time with your lady, maybe, right? You what? You want to be heckled like you're some kind of like, you know, like some kind of playground taunt that you were probably scarred by when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So people avoided that, you know? So after Ching Chong Comedy and Geishas of Comedy era... You know, I was like, you know, my friends and I were like, we're starting comedy. I'm at these open mics. It's fucking, you know, suck holes of suckage. You know what I mean?
And
I wasn't, you know, you want to make friends. Like, you don't want to feel alone. And everyone was just like 21-year-old white boys from the Midwest who are like only doing jokes on like marijuana and fucking masturbation, which, you know, more power to you. We all need a good marijuana and masturbation joke. And in fact, a combination of both is good. But it just felt so boring and just bland, you know? So I was like, you know what? I need to find, would it be possible for me to find every other Asian American woman, especially doing comedy? So I actually put on a Google alert. That shit popped up. I connected with Yola Liu in Seattle. Yep. She was just starting out. She had just graduated from University of Washington. We had like just met on Twitter. Then we did like a phone call and we're both like, dude, wouldn't it be amazing if we could just like break all the norms that Fumi was saying earlier? Like what, two Asians could not be on the same set, you know, lineup on a comedy show, much less Asian women, and much less back to back. Like that was some taboo in how you booked, you know. And we're like, dude, what if we had all Asian women? My God, you know? You know, mind blown emoji, you know what I mean? So we're like, let's do it. And what if, you know, someday that's headlined by Margaret Cho? Fast forward 3 years later, we fucking did it. Margaret Cho was a headliner. We all cried when she got done. Like that's how intense it was.
Oh my God.
What I mean?
Yeah, dude.
See, that's crazy because you got this political background, so you saw this issue and you're like, fuck this, I'm breaking all the rules, let me do my thing, let me get more control. But like, I feel like a lot of comedians, and I feel like I was on this too, it like broke my heart, you know, just like being in that environment constantly, like not knowing what to do, just be like, damn, I gotta do another Ching Chong show, like I did one last week, you know.
But
like,
I know.
And you know, it would also like, if they put two Asians back to back, you know the other one's gonna go, they're gonna be like, hey guys, I'm not the other guy, or some shit, you know.
Yeah, like, you gotta always start off that
like fucking hacky riff, and it's like, I get it, because white people love it, you know. They love it. They go crazy. But it's like, I just wish that we didn't have to do that, like say something else about my asshole or something, you know. I there's a lot of things to make fun of me for, why
rip,
that you
yeah
know?
Rip, yeah rip em.
I want the right to make fun of my hairy asshole.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, it's cool to see that, like, you, like, it didn't really, like, it angered you and it, like, motivated you. Whereas, like, I feel like a lot of comedians were like, they either go two ways. They either quit or they go, I guess I'll just try to be more white, you know?
Totally.
Which I feel like,
totally.
Which is something I dealt with that for a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, where you don't want to, like, ruffle any feathers and you're like, I'm just like you. Don't worry, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you're just, like, just doing that. And I get that. Like, either way, like, this is the thing. It's like, I don't fault people who grew up around white people and wanted to be white. I don't fault them. But once you realize this, like, what are you going to do about it? You know, I think that's what it is to me, you know?
Yeah.
Not everyone's like me, who's a loud-ass Asian, that I could be cultivated this way in my loud-ass personality because I was around other Asians. And people didn't understand me. I don't expect everyone else to be like that, like a California Asian, you know. But I think once you realize, you know, once you know the matrix, once you see the matrix, you're Neo, you see the zeros and ones, it's actually more of a reference, you know.
No,
what I mean,
not at all.
You want to
you're catching bullets.
You need to decide as a comedian, right, that's not white and male, you need to decide how you're gonna deal with that, right? So
my skin is shit.
Your skin is shit.
It's shit, Mike.
It's shit, and you smell like shit.
I know. I'm so sorry. But you do too, man.
I do.
You know why?
Why?
It's because we are straight guys.
We are
straight guys.
We are terrible.
I know.
In so many ways, and not least of which is from smelling and looking.
Ain't like shit. But you know what we can do to improve ourselves?
What's
Mike?
That? What?
We can try
Hawthorne.
Hawthorne is a premium tailored personal care brand that's making it easy for guys to feel and smell your best.
You start with a quiz. The quiz has things like, what's your favorite drink and how do you like to spend the night out? It's actually pretty fun. I did it. It's really easy. And the products you get, they have so many different kinds of products. They got everything from shampoo to deodorant, because I'm a smelly boy.
You're a smelly boy.
I double down on the deodorant. I get the perfume. I have a lot of face stuff because my face is terrible and I try to get a lot of face stuff. It's awesome.
If you want to upgrade your self-care routine, Hawthorne is a fun and convenient way to get super high-quality products tailored specifically for your needs.
Hawthorne even takes the risk out of it by giving you free shipping on your orders and returns. And if you don't like your products, they'll even retailor them for you based on your feedback.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do what I did. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and use promo code NOTASIAN to get 10% off your first purchase.
That's hawthorne.co, promo code not Asian. Hawthorne.co, promo code not Asian.
We smell better now.
Yay!
I fucking love that. And you've been using vocab that we use on this podcast, and I feel like we are like minding, we're like, what is the word? Molding minds?
Mind melding
in the matrix right now, and it feels really good. But let me just say this right now. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, because you're like, not everyone's like me because I'm a loud ass Asian woman, blah, blah, blah. I grew up in California. You know, I think you consider yourself like a 1.5 generation Asian American,
yes,
right?
Is
that correct?
Yes.
And I'm that way too, because I moved here when I was 8, and I think you moved here when you're like 5 or something.
I was 5. Uh-huh.
Right? It's close enough. I came here in the second grade. But I grew up in Ohio. You grew up in California. We've had very different upbringings, and it's very evident in our level of confidence, okay? Jenny is screaming on this podcast. She doesn't even know who we are. She's screaming. I don't even feel like I belong at my job, okay? And I got that through auditioning. So there's that, right? But I always wanted to, I love other 1.5 Asian generation people because...
Yes.
The reason why Mike and I started this podcast is because people think we're alike, but because I'm 1.5 and he's second generation, like, we just disagree on...
And I'm from California.
And he's from California, I'm from Ohio. We just disagree on so many things. Not disagree, like hateful wise, it's just more like, oh, I don't see it that way. Just like, I never thought about it that way, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and I was wondering, like, I used to hate being called Asian American because there was like this narrative of what that means. It's like, oh, hardship, immigrant parents, doctor, blah, blah, blah. And like, because I'm 1.5, I feel like I didn't fit into that, you know, 100%. How and also, so? Like, I'm sure you're Chinese better than you're... Well, because I'm also Japanese, right? So, like, yeah. My parents, like, had a job when they moved. Like, my dad's an engineer, right? So, like, and right. they didn't really pressure me to be a doctor. So, like, already, I don't even fit in with that narrative. And, like, that's why I hated, like... I used to in the beginning because I was trying to appease the white people. But, like, I don't like making jokes that play on that story because that's not my life at all.
Word.
Right. And when people, like, when I do roast battles and stuff, people be like, oh, Asian, doctor, rice, blah, blah, blah. Rice is true for me, but, like,
listen,
everything else is not.
100%
episode
yes.
one.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
rice
so,
we got.
I don't know. I was wondering if you ever had any experiences like that where, like, oh, I don't always connect with, like, a second gen because I remember Taiwan and my Chinese is better than your Chinese or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's a big difference between getting here when I was 5 versus getting here when I was 8, if you're 8 years old. There is actually a really big difference because, you know, when you're 5 years old, I still remember, like, Taiwan for sure, but, and also because we moved to LA because my dad worked for China Airlines, we all had free tickets every year. So between age 5 and 14, I got to go back to Taiwan for the summer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and so I still felt very connected. But in the context of my family, I was the youngest, and my two older brothers were like 10 years older than me. Mm. And my dad knew English, but like not 100% fluent, more like paper English, like book English.
Yeah.
And
so
very early on, I was already like translating for the family, like knowing English first. I had like way too much power, like a lot of immigrant kids have, right? Dynamics are swapped. I think it really depends. Like, I get what you mean by you didn't relate to that struggle life. I think people who had probably more professional educated parents, you know what I'm saying? Who probably knew, did your dad know English?
Well, that's the thing. No, but he works for like a Japanese company. You know,
he was comfy. He was comfy.
Yeah, for sure.
No, so I do feel like it just depends on like how you're situated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With like your parents' job, like class situation, like, you know. I mean, but you relate on the tip of like feeling racism around.
Absolutely.
White people.
And that's why, like, and also like weirdly enough, like you know, if I have a ton of Asian American friends now and it's chill, we get to eat noodles together. That's really nice. That's a good perk.
Yep,
I didn't get to do that for a long time, you know. I'd be eating noodles alone and my friends are like, you're weird, you're strange.
And they're like,
why are you slurping?
Yeah. Ooh, we're gonna get into that later, bro. Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Yeah, I do think it is, like, you know, but like everyone, all three of us, if you kind of didn't see our names and faces, you wouldn't think that we were of the same race of people.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I did well in school, not Harvard well, but like I did okay, you know. But then like then there's you who like had this kind of career, and then me, I'm like a weird like creative douchebag guy, and then Fumi who was like we have more in common as far as being creative than as far as like our family histories.
Yeah,
you know, right, my family we're refugees, and then your parents like came here and they had and then your dad wasn't in the picture. You know, it's like how
separate bedroom, separate apartment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we all have that. That's a funny thing. I think about being Asian American is that like we're not common in a lot of things as far as like, you know. None of us were doctors or whatever the fuck it is, but there's other things that
like little things like parents
sleeping in separate beds and never saying I love you. Like,
and like,
yeah, okay, I get that one.
My
that
white
one.
Friends would never understand that, but immediately we all knew what the fuck we were talking
about.
You know
what I'm saying? So like, I think that's where Asian, like, you know, even the narrative of what Asian American means, like, yes, we all have the rice thing. Pretty much everybody's got the rice thing. But then, there's like a massively amount of divergence until we all get back to like our parents don't love each other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Think,
like, that's sort of like a circle.
Yeah, but I think what Fumi's saying in terms of the tension of it, it's true. It's like this idea of what Asian American is, people see it as this very two-dimensional thing that you got to be like, fight the man or whatever. and people don't enter into the identity usually that way. You have to like, it needs to occur to you in some sense, you know, otherwise it's like the way people feel like, I'm not an activist. It's those people who are hardcore who are activists, you know, and then that creates a distance between you and them. And then makes you feel like you can't take a small action to do something. Like that's the biggest fallacy. It's like your Asian American experience is very valid. Now, you know, for you to be now aware, right, of like all the forces that were interacting in you to make you maybe want to be white or hate whatever, you know, hate slurping in front of other people. That's part of the Asian American experience, you know, but people don't talk about it that way. You know, people talk about it that like, oh, you got to have like, I don't know,
like a checklist, extra
XYZ struggles. You know what I mean? That was your impression. Right, that's just a problem. That's just a problem of like, I think most people who are very highly politicized early on, like got into like ethnic studies and Asian American studies in college. You know what I mean? That's a very defining, you know, thing. But what I really love right now is that like, I'm seeing so many other like Asian American comedians who, you know, happen to be Asian, maybe don't talk about being Asian all the time, right? They're just in the comedy scene who didn't go through like an activism phase in college, maybe of like around Asian American studies or ethnic studies, who, because in the last 4 years things have become more politicized because of the rise of like highly racialized politics and the police brutality issues, like they've had to question, okay, well, who am I in relation to black and white issues? And you know, people are posting like excerpts from Kathy Park Hong's Minor Feelings. They're straight up like going, they're like googling Asian American studies stuff. I'm like, yes, okay to do that, you know, because before, when I was doing comedy, I was like, immediately, I was like, I have skills to do leadership and organizing. I'm going to apply that to my career because these fools aren't going to lay out the red carpet for me. You think they're out here, Hollywood's out here trying to give me money immediately? No.
Hell no.
I was like, I'm gonna produce my own stand-up comedy tour. I'm going to produce my own comedy festivals. It's supporting our community, but also obviously it has supported me and given me a platform. Or else I just have to make it myself, you know? At the time I saw it very clearly. I was like, there's the first people that booked me when I started were gay white people and white women and black black comedy clubs. So at one point I was able to go in one of the like not as supported, kind of, you know, not as like rich black comedy clubs in LA. Like, these are the people that first supported me. And I was just like, oh shit, they're giving me stage time. This is dope. And then there were like a bunch of like mostly white alt comedians, I guess you would call them alt in LA, where I was like, oh, they're like putting each other on shows. Sometimes they don't have punchlines, like whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, and being like, look, they're all friends and they're like helping each other out. And they're like, you know, getting jobs at Conan. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was like that.
And so I remember thinking to myself, I was like, I'm not alt. You know what I mean? I'm not like an alt comedian. Like, I don't look like I went to art school as an Asian. Like, there are certain Asians that qualify for like alt, more white spaces. And they're not going to book me. And so I got to book my own shit. And so I feel like in the last 5 to 6 years, there has been more of a racial reckoning and awakening, so that even in the comedy community in LA, at least, guys were starting to call other guys out to be like, why are there no more than one woman on your lineup? Then some of the white, previously alt, I guess, comedians were also being more open to like booking non-white folks and realizing that that was like a blind spot. You know what I'm saying?
I love that you mentioned that, especially with the alt thing, because you would think that like they're alt, right? And you would think they might be more kind of self-aware about those things, but like a lot of times they weren't. And when I first started, there was definitely like the Brooklyn scene, and then there was like the club scene. And to me, as an Asian dude standing on the outside, I was like, they're the same. It's just that one of them dresses like you know, American Apparel, and the other one dresses like, you know, Target. You know, they're the same. They're both not booking me, and they both don't talk to me. Like, one of them talks about like dropping acid, and the other one talks about like, well, you know, whatever.
His wife or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they feel, to me, they feel the same, even though, you know, like one of them is alt. So I love that. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, kind of wrap up this thing is, you know, you are very politically engaged. And I think you're right. I think more people have become more conscious about it for a number of reasons. You know, how do you sort of like balance Do you feel that those things need to be in balance? Because I think, you know, there's this whole thing, the culture wars, all the, you know, cancel this and whatever the fuck it is. Sometimes I feel that too. I'm like, I want to be someone who's like, you know, challenges things and wants to be an activist in his own way. But I'm also somebody who wants to just be very silly, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel that those things are in conflict, but I don't know if you feel that way or if I'm thinking about it the wrong way, do you know?
I mean, where are you feeling pressure from? Because you just got to live. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yeah.
Every moment, every minute you have on stage, you get to choose what you're talking about. So maybe one time I'm going to rant about politics. Another time I'm going to do my material about my mom, you know, collecting plastic bags. I don't know. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, so
I guess the question is more like, is being an activist and doing comedy at odds with each other, you know?
I mean, listen, I don't know why this is posed this way, but I feel like for me, like, I'm just a human being. And if you're a human being who cares about the world, then I would encourage you to bring your value system into whatever your skill sets are. And so that's all I'm doing, right? So, you know, you can call me a social justice warrior. You call me a woke comedian. I don't take it as a derogatory thing. But in the end, you know, what I do is comedy and I want to make people laugh, you know what I'm saying? And be delighted by my presence. And so, you know, like, that's all I say about that. But, you know, in terms of the actual, that whole conversation around like cancel culture is too much or like comedians can't do comedy anymore. I was like, man, you're just old and dusty and you just need to adapt because the winds of change are blowing. Right. And I always say, like, whenever Jerry Seinfeld was quoted being like, oh, I just can't do comedy at colleges and universities anymore. I was like, fool, I will take those jobs. Okay. I know how to talk to college students. You don't need more money, Jerry Seinfeld. I'll take
That's
it.
True.
You know?
That's true.
So I don't know. For me, it's like, you know, the other thing that I need people to learn more is like, I need more people who care about comedy and social justice to like be more educated about consuming comedy, because like, you could be a comedian and even if someone that I have certain values, I will laugh at a really fucked up joke because I'm like,
for
yes,
sure,
funny.
I will too. That
right?
is funny.
But then you're like, and then you backtrack and you're like, does the world really need this joke? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Really need to amplify this type of thinking? Do we need to really make fun of this type of person or thing?
Yeah.
Then that's like when your values kick in. And so do you amplify that? Do you support that comedian? Do you support that joke? Then that's when that whole other stuff. But in that moment, is it a good joke? Yeah, it'll make me laugh. Like, it doesn't mean I'm a terrible person. It just means that whatever they're playing on, they know how to make you have this like automatic response. You know, so I don't know
that,
there's
man.
A difference. There's a difference between, you know, if something is objectively a funny joke and is comedy versus what are the social consequences of it. You know what I'm saying? And I think for me, I will always acknowledge if something is legitimately really funny. But then I'll also be like, I'm not going to reshare that or stand that. Or maybe I'd be like, maybe this person shouldn't be booked, you know, depending on what the violation is. It's a sliding scale, guys. There's no judge. Okay. If there was a social justice comedy tribunal, maybe I'd be on it.
That'd be
but
tight.
I'm just telling you.
it's like The Voice, but with social justice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel that. Yeah.
No, but like, it's just, I don't know. People need to just be more aware, both on the comedian side and on the like, consumer side. Do you remember Angela Davis? There was a viral video back in the day when YouTube first started, and she was doing a Vietnamese accent at the nail salon. Angela Johnson.
Yes. The
Angela
nail joke?
Davis.
So, yes.
Not Black Power Angela Davis, but Angela Johnson.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I didn't know she was going like that. Okay. Yes, I remember this. And for me, it was a great accent. And to this day, I was like, damn, she really nailed it. And I was so conflicted. I was like, this is very funny. But yes, go ahead. Yes, yes.
No, but that's a perfect example, right? Yeah. All the Asians were like,
yes.
Yo, it started to sound like maybe I should be offended by this. Is this fucked up? And then she got into it. You're like, yo. And then like the craft of the comedy overpowered the desire to be like, yo, this might be fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point about like learning how to consume because like we as comedians, well, we know how to consume.
Right.
We know how to consume. So we can laugh at that and then kind of step back and think. But I feel like not everyone knows how to do that.
You know, they have to choose immediately. Like, oh, I'm going to support this kind of thing forever, or this is offensive and she needs to lose her job. Like, for us, it's more complicated than that, you know?
It is more complicated.
We laugh first, and then we go, and then we walk away and don't tell our friends we laughed at it. That's really
a good one.
That's really what it is for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel the thing is that, like, if you are able to really nail the thing, you know, that, I think that's the thing of a lot of times when you're not Asian and you try to do Asian comedy for whatever reason, like, you're going to miss because you don't have all those little things that
they're
like
not equipped.
Joke. They're not, you don't have it. Yeah. But like what the Angela Johnson, it was like, that was, I had not heard a lot of the Vietnamese accent is actually pretty hard to do.
And people don't do it that much.
They don't do it that much. It's really specific. At the time, people were like, I think just getting into Bang Me Sandwiches. So they didn't know any of that shit. You know, they only knew like one Kevin Nguyen at the time. And she like was able to really dial it in. And weird thing was like, we're like, oh, there is some truth to this. And it's kind of nice to hear it, even if it's not from someone like us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which was, you know, so props to her. That was interesting.
But that's a tiny, you see, she had to like, that was a tiny hole she needed to thread. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
and she managed
absolutely.
To kind of do it and still get cred from Vietnamese people. But you can think of any other person who was less skilled and less observant
than Angela was, who would fuck
it up. And it just sounds like, yo, you are making fun of me. I feel attacked.
Yes, you're just, you're totally
you
mean, missing.
You were talking about Shane Gillis.
Oh, man. Oh, so, yeah. You know, please, everybody, please book Jenny. catch her on the Ching Chong show.
You
okay?
Ching Chong, man.
Yeah, catch her on the Ching Chong show. We're now being produced. It's on HBO Max, everybody. So.
Hey, thanks for coming over, Kelly.
Oh, wow, Fumi. This is so nice that you have me over.
Yeah. It's a Tuesday night, so I thought we could maybe get together and do stuff. So
oh, yes.
This is, let's go into my room. I have a really big apartment.
This apartment is so big. I wouldn't have imagined it to be so big at all.
Yeah, I'm a pretty successful podcast. You should check it out.
I've heard, yeah. So nice. Oh, we're still walking. So far.
Okay, check it out. Now this is where the magic happens.
Ooh, never heard that joke before. So fresh. You're so funny.
Now, are you ready to get down and do the dirty on this bed? What do you think about this bed?
I've never seen a bed like this. It looks so nice and supportive.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. We could do all the positions on this bed.
Oh my gosh. Including missionary?
Including missionary. Fumi's favorite and only option.
Where did you get this mattress from?
This mattress is called Helix Sleep Mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you.
Whether you're a side sleeper, hot sleeper, like a plush or firm bed with Helix, there's no more confusion and no more compromising on an average mattress.
Helix Sleep was even awarded the number one bed overall mattress pick of 2019 by GQ and Wired Magazine.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you up to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights free, risk-free, unlike what we're about to do right now, Kelly. Wink, wink. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Asian.
That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/Asian for up to $125 off.
Oh, you got a condom?
We are doing our new segment called Mismanagement Consulting, which is our newest segment where we take questions from our fans and we answer on the pod, but not just questions. We're a consulting company.
Yes.
And we take your problems and we solve it for you for a very high fee. This week we are hired again. Oh, by the way, if you want to get in on this, email asian.asianpod@gmail.com or text 917-755-9596 or leave a voicemail at the same number or fill out the Google form link in the episode description on this episode.
Are you ready for some mismanagement consulting? This is a voicemail that we got.
Yes.
Which was, we're so excited about that. Actually, people actually leave voicemails old school, right? Yes. Like that's 2003.
Yes.
So
make sure it's all the way up because I want to make sure Jenny can hear
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Jenny, we'll make sure you can hear this as well.
Speak up if you can't hear this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Mismanagement Consulting. 2 questions for you. I'm a white girl and my partner is an Asian man. We've been in a relationship for 3 years. 2 issues have popped up. When my white friends get together for dinner, they want to pray around the table, and my partner's not comfortable with that. Should he have to sit there and bow his head with them? just to be polite, or should he be excluded from that whole situation? Question two.
Yeah.
When my partner eats, he eats with his mouth open, and I think that's just a cultural thing. I find it really fucking disgusting, and I've said that to him before, but it's just how he grew up eating. And I've gotten used to it at this point. Is it even okay to ask him to chew with his mouth closed if we were to go to a party, let's say? Is it okay to ask him to change that cultural programming that he already has to fit in with whatever my culture is? Thanks.
Ooh, culture.
Wow.
Cultural program. I love this question. Yes. I love this question.
So good.
Largely, it is about manners and table manners.
Yes.
And I always think about this constantly. But let's
break it down.
Let's
okay. break it down. First of all, do we need to do the first thing? The first thing was kind of weird, huh?
Well, hold on here, because I grew up, you know, with my family, obviously, and we would always eat, and we were Catholic, but we didn't pray before dinner. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes, like, if I went to other people's houses, they would pray and all that stuff. I generally, growing up as a kid, I was very anxious eating at white people's houses.
Mm.
I was like, oh, I know they do the whole thing where you're like, please pass the peas or whatever the fuck it is. First of all, peas disgusting. And then passing it, like, I was very nervous about that. I was very nervous about, like, using the right fork or spoon. I was very nervous about, like, I remember I went on a, it's called Outdoor Ed, which is like a big, like, week-long camping trip you take with your sixth grade class.
Okay.
And, you know, we had, like, everybody eats together, like, in this big mess hall. We had, like, tables and shit like that. And I was like, that part terrified me because I didn't know what the rule, like, I knew what the rules were in at my house. There are certain things, but, you know, eating at other white people's houses with the prayers and shit like that, you know, that shit was freaky. I don't know. So, like, I do think the first thing is really important.
So the her question was, should he be excused from the prayers, right?
I guess so. I don't know. So what do you, first of all, like, I guess what are your thoughts on the prayer issue, Jenny?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it should be chill for him to excuse himself from, you know, pre-dinner prayer.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to be sitting there and, like, it feels awkward for everyone to be bowing and talking while he kind of sits there with his eyes open. Or if he's chill, just sit there and don't bow your head and just, like, stare at the peas. You know what I mean?
Think
about how terrible the peas are going to be. I had a lot of white friends growing up, very Christian. I didn't pray as a kid. They would pray. I actually thought it was kind of cool because I felt like I was at like an amusement park or something.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I got to take, I was in like a play or something.
Yeah, I got tested. Yeah.
And when I was really little, I would pray and I would like open my eyes to see if like anybody else was
looking around.
Yeah, but I was the only one looking around.
They were all really
serious about God. I was like, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I thought maybe they were like fucking with me for a little bit, but they were really serious about God. And they would always, you know what I like? They would always give me a shout out. In the prayer,
because these families, they don't.
I guess some people will just do like the
dear
God,
Father God,
in
please save Abe's heathen
yes,
soul.
Yes,
well,
yes, yes,
they,
yeah, 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 yeah.
They do that thing where like, so I think some people read the thing, the Art in Heaven one, but a lot of people will just be like, thank you for this meal, thank you Lord for having Fumi over as a guest. Like, I get a little shout out, and I'd always be like, I love that.
I felt very conflicted about it because I was Catholic, and I always felt that they were going to try to convert me, and I was like, yo, I know you're Protestant or whatever, but like, I'm another thing, and my mom's gonna be super pissed if like, I become Protestant.
You come home.
And like, I felt too that like praying for me was like, it's like you're talking about someone behind their back, but they're right in front of you. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
yeah.
You know, I just want to pray to God, you know, say, hey, you know, my boy Fumi needs help because he's got a small dick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, man.
He needs some help though. You know, like,
yeah.
I always felt very weird about it. I do think, to go back to kind of like, overall, I think this is about table manners and what you should or shouldn't be expected. I think Jenny is totally right. Like, I feel if it's a thing where they're kind of, you know, doing something at him. Yeah. Because I think sometimes that is a thing. Like they're doing something at him that he doesn't have to sit there, you know, and like hear like
the roast, the God roast.
The God roast.
The roast from
the
heaven.
God roast. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to sit there and take it. Yeah. But if it's like their custom, you are at someone else's house, and I think guest being a guest, you could just sit there and just be like, word, agree. Yeah, you know, generally agree. You know, like
for sure. I think this lady. I mean, if there's an Asian person at the table, she needs to be more concerned about the food you're serving. Okay,
because
you know he's gonna be
true.
Judging your ass. So like, stop worrying about the prayer, and stop cooking those peas. That is my solution to question number one.
So then the second one.
Yes.
Again,
so
I wanna,
fucking funny, by the way.
I want to talk about kind of manners and all
I
that
feel
stuff.
This.
So
I feel this second question so hard, y'all.
You feel
so
the second question.
Life.
Take it away.
Take it away.
How do you?
Swimming with your mouth open.
What are your thoughts?
Oh my God. So I am unfortunately in love with a white man, and
it happens in the best of us. Let me pray for you. Hey, yo, God.
Dear God.
Dear God, thank you very much for this food. But please,
dear white Jesus. Dear white Jesus.
And she has fallen off the path. Please help her to see her ways. Okay.
Dear Asian God.
Bring her back. Yeah, please. Based Asian God. I know you're up there at the boba shop high above. Please bring Jenny back to the fold. Okay, anyway, sorry, continue.
Yo, like, listen, contrary to everything in the fiber of my being, I fell in love with a white man. And he is very, grew up, like, very, like, learning his table manners to be from the Midwest and shit. And one day he just, like, pointed out, he's like, so like, do you slurp when you eat, even when there's not liquid involved? I'm like, no, of course there is. Yo, this taco is juicy. This wrap gets juicy. Who knows?
Yeah, but also,
if we're eating noodles or like holding, like listen. So this is a thing that has come up, and to him it feels very rude. Because he also doesn't eat food that's hot. He needs to wait for that shit to be tepid, like mashed potatoes. Do you know what I'm saying? And I grew up, like, the hotter, the better. Like,
it has to be really hot.
My mom cooked with wok. She had Teflon hands, no mitts.
Yeah, dude.
Teflon
just
mouth.
No mitts all day.
Just grabbed it and shit.
Yo, food, we were taught food is best when it's hot, okay?
So if
you are eating noodles, and actually I did a study abroad in high school in Japan, and I learned the beauty of hardcore slurping of noodles. Like, so, do you know what I mean? Where you're like...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It just sounds like a terrible soundtrack to, like, porn, and it's like... Yeah. But I've become self-conscious, and in my head, I'm like... I think I don't do this when I'm in polite company, like when I'm in like a group, because I don't think it's come up, but maybe I need to be more aware. But because I became comfortable with him, I was like, you need to see, this is how I eat when I'm comfortable. Like it is.
Yeah.
A lot of Asians eat raw. Like we bring the
raw.
Bowl up to
raw.
Our mouth.
Raw dog it. We
so raw,
dog
baby.
Dog.
Raw dog it. No,
dog
no condom.
Dog.
No condom on these chopsticks, baby.
None. two thin condoms on the chopstick.
We will bring the bowl up to our mouth.
Yes,
and
bring up the bowl to your mouth. Yeah.
And you, what you do is
you shovel it in. Yeah.
With your chopsticks and you hoover that shit in. You're like,
hell yeah,
you know
dude.
What I mean? That's like, it's maximum flavor. It's the way, you know, when, you know, baristas do cupping and they're like sipping the flavor of like brewed coffee, they got to go, but like, you know, when you're drinking wine at a winery and they're like, you got to get the full palate, you know, like that's how you do it.
You got to swish it around a little bit, swish it around in your mouth.
Anyway, I know it to Americans, it's disgusting. I've been called out for it before. I'm just like, yo, this is how I eat. Like I will put the bowl up to my mouth and I will suck in this rice juice.
Yeah,
you know
dude. Oh, that's
not
so good.
This is interesting. In college, I had to call up my Chinese roommate for the same thing. I was like, dude, you eat with your mouth open. Like, you gotta cut that shit out. And then we had to have a talk. I was like,
whoa, word?
Yeah, because he would like, we'd get Quiznos down. I love him, by the way, Brian. I love you so much. He's gotten better since then, but like,
dear
he
God.
Would eat with his mouth open. It would like really make me nauseous. I was like, dude, you can't like, I mean, noodles, noodles is different, but like, sandwich, like anything that's not soup or whatever, like he was doing it like at my, you know, it's a fucking dorm. I'm right next to him.
Right.
And so I've had a conversation with this. So my initial reaction to this voicemail is like, I thought it was so funny that she thought this rude behavior was an Asian thing.
No.
That's offensive to me.
Yeah.
No, I think eating with your mouth open is not necessarily an Asian thing, but
yeah, it's not necessarily,
you know, I do agree that you might be more likely to not consider it rude if you're Asian sometimes.
I agree with that.
Because there is a range range of like propriety in Asia, depending on your class or like your background. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to Fumi, and I feel that Western manner, table manners, is about like class, and it's about like not making any noise and offending anybody. So it's about like using the right fork. And then in America, this was always so confusing to me, is that you cut with one hand and then you put the knife down
and then you switch hands.
No wonder the food is cold by that time. Okay, it takes like 5 minutes between bites. There's no fucking way. You gotta like put the knife down, pull another knife out. No, wrong fork, asshole. Like,
oh yeah, the wrong fork shit. There's like, you go to a fancy restaurant, they give you 7 forks.
There's so many forks.
And they're different sizes.
They're all different. Oh no, you're not supposed to cut the cheese with that one. You're supposed to use this other special thing. So that's like a Western way of doing it. And I think Asian way is like a lot more. The only real rule I had was like about seniority. Who ate first?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, grab the food first. Who grabbed the food first?
Who gets to get the food first? So like, you know, like dad usually. And then there was, you know, and then actually not mom, but it was like the oldest
son.
Men.
Yeah.
All the men ate first.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's not real. I mean, like my mom was like, you know, she was kind of like not about that because she was like, yo, I worked really hard for this food. I'm going to also eat.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she kind of switched it up and she like fed the kids first. But there was like that idea. And then there is still some, you know, there is still something about that. Like you go to like an Asian restaurant, the person who is closest to the rice the rice bowl, can distribute.
Oh,
the rice.
Yeah.
And that's
like
that's a good position. You know, you're like doing an honor to somebody else.
Sure.
And then like if you go to a Korean restaurant, you know, you pour other people's drinks. You don't pour your own. Mm. You pour everybody else's tea. You don't pour your own. So there's like a seniority thing to it. But there's less things about like reaching over somebody. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like putting your elbows up, making noise. That's okay.
Elbows up is considered not rude. Like that's actually the opposite. You want to show your hands in most Asian cultures and elbows to be transparent. Like if you put your hands down, then it's considered like untrustworthy. That's like a weird kind of thing.
Whoa. That's some like Game of Thrones shit.
You know,
right there.
I know I've been hanging out with too many white people because the noodles thing, I stopped slurping.
Oh,
because
word.
I was
Fumi?
Around. So like,
that breaks my heart.
You know, you fear
Fumi,
God.
Fumi, that you, breaks my heart.
Asian
dear
God.
Asian, dear based
Yo.
Asian God.
Dear based Asian God.
Pray for me. Yo, because Mike had me over to his house the other day. Did I slurp? I didn't slurp.
I didn't notice, but I did slurp. Like that you ate a lot of my food.
I
so
did. I still eat a lot, but I do this thing where I put it in my mouth. And then I cut it. I like
cut
chop
it with, your
it with
teeth.
My teeth.
Yeah.
And I'm,
but that's
I'm kind of slurping, but you can't really hear me. You know, I'm real sneaky about it. But I'm doing it like because other people are watching. But like if no one's watching, I'll fucking get dirty with it.
Get dirty and raw.
Just dip,
you know?
Yeah.
No, but like I think that you just made a good point. Like if the priority of like classy Western eating is to not make noise and to know what the function of each instrument is.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And to be slow about it. That's the primary goal. But I feel like for most Asian cultures, the primary goal is to express gratitude and enjoyment to the cook. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. You are supposed to.
Right?
Yes.
So whether that's through the sound of slurping or making sure you clean your plate or being excited about it. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why like you could get into it and be like, oh my God, this is so good.
This was so tight.
Have you eaten this? This is so good. Let me give you some.
Yeah, you
gotta
try some
of
this. Yeah, you give other people food. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Very the purpose. Mm-hmm. So maybe we don't care as much about like how it looks or how it sounds, but it's more about that passion.
Yeah. I think for our caller here, the advice I would say is that it should be context specific. So if you're sitting there and you're eating escargot or whatever the fuck white people eat, then maybe he shouldn't be eating with his mouth open.
Yes.
And I can see in certain company you have, that's the thing about being Asian, right? Sometimes you can let your dick out and sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes when you're sitting there at the Olive Garden or whatever it is, then
it's family. This is family. You gotta put your dick away.
Your family. So you gotta like follow certain rules there. Maybe you're doing like the noodle spoon.
To roll the spaghetti in the spoon.
Whatever the fuck it is, that's some bullshit. Also making it cold, so cold.
Yeah.
And but you got to do it. You got to do it because hey, it's Olive Garden. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're an Asian place and you're eating there, if let's just say this, if there's a lucky cat in front, all bets are off. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It's on.
It's on.
You know what you want. And that's
his dick is out, baby.
You know, you chose this man as your partner, I assume. And there's going to be some things. Sometimes he's going to want to eat.
You got to compromise.
Eat out with his, Yeah, he's gonna want to eat out with his cock out, and that's just how it is.
Yeah,
but I do think that, you know, to the caller's point, you know, he might be able to tone it down sometimes. You know, when you're eating at Ruby Tuesdays and shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel that. I mean, as a fancy Asian, I'm gonna concur. You know, fancy manners Asian. And that's my
so
shit.
True.
Yo, my mom has been training me to eat with white people since I was like three, bro.
Yo, word.
I remember eating the spaghetti with the spoon since I was like four. It was just crazy. It's just crazy, bro.
My mom would she was real big into this because I think she's kind of like, you know, aware of who we were as Vietnamese people. She was always like,
you gotta prove yourself.
Yeah,
right?
When we would eat at this like a cafe, and she would always be like, okay, make sure if you're not done eating, to put your like fork and knife down a certain way. You know, because she would always tell me the story about how she was really embarrassed by my dad because he would like, you know, Asia. We didn't got that shit in Asia, right? So we just like put the fork and knife
take the
on
plate
the
away.
And they take the plate away, and then my dad is like, "Oh, hold on, I'm not done."
And it would really embarrass
my mom.
Yeah.
And that's again sort of the whole thing about like, well, now we have to like live by these other rules.
Yes.
When we're eating our fish fillet or whatever the fuck it
is.
Yeah,
yeah. I also cannot imagine your dad, refugee, giving a fuck about that.
No, my like, dad. Oh my god, dude. He'll pull out his own Bowie knife and just be like, "Yo, I got this."
Yeah, you want? I got a knife. Yeah, he brings his own knife.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. In the end, you might want to do certain things to make the white people comfortable, or you could just be like, fuck it. You know what I mean? My dad fucking fought off pirates and stuck gold up his ass, you know, and saved a baby from being thrown overboard. Like, I don't give a fuck if you don't like the sounds of my mouth. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So the caller, I would ask, has your man fought pirates?
Yeah.
Yes. And if the answer is yes, then let him be. If no, then he needs to.
Is he paying with the gold that's in his butt? Yeah. Okay, that's a question.
All right, this has been Mismanagement Consulting.
Woo!
Jenny, thank you so much for doing the show. It was so fun talking to you. You are so fucking
so
smart.
Fun.
And honestly, you used our vocab like four times, Mike. Did you feel that?
For sure.
Our vocab?
Raw. what else? You said California Asian.
Yes.
You said a couple other things that we always... It's like an inside joke on the show. Didn't know they were real vocab. So I feel that our... Go ahead.
Who's to say that I'm not an Asian? I'm not an anal. You know what I mean?
Oh,
who's to say I'm not an anal?
Well, I just assumed based on your, you know, you're very busy, so I can't imagine why you would listen to us.
Yo, dear base God, please bless Jenny. Please bless Jenny and her white boyfriend. And she walks the
save
narrow path.
Save them. Save them.
Between slurping and not slurping.
Yeah.
Jenny, where can our fans find you?
Handle Jenny Yang TV on Twitter or Instagram or JennyYang.tv. I'm always online. Say what's up.
Woo-hoo.
Oh yeah, and you can also find us on the social media at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on there at The Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePants.
Please check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Asian.AsianPod for bonus episodes and bonus behind the scenes content of me and Mike doing stand up. We post all that shit on there now, and we do extra race news on there. Also, we just released merch, so check that out at Asian.AsianPod.com/merch. Christmas is coming up. It's a great gift, so check out our hoodies.
Yes.
Come to our Hack City Comedy Show. That's an online Zoom show that Jenny will be joining us, I believe.
I will.
Next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the next one is
The 20th,
8 p.m. Eastern. So just go to asian.asianpod.com for tickets. And is that it? Is there anything
else? I think that's it. Thank you very much again, Jenny Yang.
Jenny, thank you so much. And Anals, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
And we are back with our monthly Patreon shout-outs, man. We got a lot. I think we have to divide this into two.
Okay.
But guys, if you don't know what we're doing right now, we always give a shout-out to our newest Patreon members, people who support our show financially. So if you want to get in on this train, go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and give us your money. And depending on how much you give, you get access to bonus episodes. We slide into your DMs. You can pitch race news, all kinds of stuff. So
definitely
check us out. And now we're going to guess the ethnicity of our newest members based on their last name.
We like to insult our Patreon subscribers right off the bat.
Right off the bat. That's what you get.
Hook it
disrespect.
Up.
Here we go. Number one, Sabrina Kiamilev. Kiamilev.
Kiamilev.
That's Eastern European, 100%.
100%. Ukrainian. I'm going to say Ukrainian.
Yeah, I think Ukrainian's right. And,
Kiamilev.
Aren't they in trouble right now, Ukraine?
Probably.
No, that's the Azerbaijan or whatever. I don't know what's going on over there. Blake Nakatsu.
Nakatsu.
That's Japanese.
Dude, that guy sounds like a delicious fried pork chop. I'll have the Blake Nakatsu.
With cabbage on the side. this one is just Sheila or Shayla. S-H-E-Y.
Yo.
S-H-E-Y-L-A.
We got Patreon subscribed by a pop star.
Just one name, like Madonna. Shayla. Probably like a Nigerian princess pop star. So thank you, all the way from Nigeria. Thank you so much. Then we got Danielle Sowers.
Oh, yeah.
She messages us a lot. I think she's Korean, but Sowers, what's going on there?
I don't know. I think she might be
adopted Korean.
Adopted Korean.
You can't get past this. We know. Danielle Lee. L-E-E. I'm going to say it's Korean because Daniel's like a biblical name, right?
Oh, good one.
And they love God.
Nice twist. Korean.
Ricky Lee. I think this might be my friend, or there's 1,000 Ricky Lees in New York.
You know what's interesting, too, is this Lee is a L-I.
That's Chinese.
Chinese, baby.
That's Chinese, baby.
Can't fool us, Ricky.
Edmund Chen. C-H-E-N.
Dude, this guy is... Edmund? My God, you just said Edmund. I already know you're Chinese.
Yeah. You think it's a popular Chinese name?
Chinese people like love names that are like... 19th century
Albert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Howard, you know.
Yep. James Glover. G L O V E R.
James Glover.
Ooh, like Donald Glover.
I'm saying this is a black dude.
Oh.
Hey man.
Donald Glover's brother.
Nice.
Who can make us famous? Thank you. So you are. What ethnicity is that?
Detroitian.
Okay. Then we have Ivan Acuna with a N A. A C U N A A.
Filipino.
Yeah. Do they do NAs?
I think they do.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They sometimes have
so
like
spicy
crazy names like Angela Constipacion.
Yeah. Okay. April Lee Wang.
I'm gonna say this person is Malaysian.
Yeah, because what's going on with that AG at the end? Lee Wanag.
Lee Wanag. It's a crazy like mashup, just like Malaysia is.
Yeah. Okay, then we got Alan Chow. That's Chinese as
Chinese
well.
Chinese as fuck.
Sydney Ng. That's Chinese.
Maki
Yamamoto. That is Japanese.
Yo.
That's fuck. Andy Park. Korean.
Korean.
And then finally we have Tiana. Just Tiana. Another pop star.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you very much from Nigeria.
A lot of Nigerian pop stars today,
Nigerian pop stars.
So guys, thank you so much for your donations. Really appreciate it. Again, we're trying to get a studio and do our own thing because we're not famous anymore. We screwed the pooch on this one. So guys, we really need your help. So thank you guys so much. And if you're not a member already, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod.